first reading is from the 25th chapter of Proverbs. Do not put yourself in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some may have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Before I read our gospel, I just want to point out a couple quick things. So we jump from verse 1 to verse 7 in our reading. We get a one-verse little setup for our story that tells us that Jesus was being watched closely by the people there. And then we skip ahead because we just skip over this short little story about Jesus healing someone on the Sabbath, which, if you remember, that was basically our story last week. This is just a shorter version. So we skip over that into this parable of the wedding banquet. And this parable is only found in the Gospel of Luke. But that first little verse that we get, the reason they keep that for us about Jesus being watched closely is because it sets up this emphasis that's unique to the Gospel of Luke, an emphasis on perception. Jesus is being watched closely, and we hear that Jesus is watching those around him as well. And all of that emphasis on perception leads us into an invitation to view the world, to perceive the world as God does. So now, the gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, in order for us to really understand the message in this parable, the parable of the wedding banquet, we have to understand a little bit about the cultural context. Because the story is set in a culture that is an honor-based society. We live in a capitalist society, right? So money is power. Well, in an honor-based society, honor is power. Honor is currency. So doing things that bring honor to your family or to yourself moves you higher up on this spectrum. Associating with or being connected to people with prestige moves you higher up on this spectrum. But doing things that bring shame on yourself or your family, or being associated with or connected to someone who's looked down on for any reason, moves you down that spectrum. So, like I said, honor is power. Honor is currency. So where you are on this spectrum determines your value and your worth in the community. And this story, this parable, is all about challenging that idea of where honor is to be found and where a person's value is to be found. As I was thinking about all of that, I had a memory of from when I was a kid. When I was 13, I used to love to babysit, and we had a family across the street that had an adorable little boy, 2 or 3 years old, and it was my favorite family to babysit for. And I remember one day I was outside, this little boy's name was Ben, and I was outside playing with Ben. I wasn't babysitting him, but both families were outside doing yard work or something, and the grown-ups were talking, so I was entertaining Ben. And at one point, I was carrying him around, and we were on my side of the street, and we had these beautiful purple flowers that vined up around our mailbox, and Ben loved them. He was all about these purple flowers. And so I carried him over, and I picked one of these flowers, and I tucked it behind his ear, and he just beamed. But then his father saw this, and with this palpable anger, he came over to us and he snatched that flower off of Ben and he threw it to the ground. And he said, "Boys don't wear flowers." And he took Ben from me. And I remember being shaken by his reaction, by his anger. I wasn't raised with that kind of toxic masculinity, and I was really confused and upset. Still upsets me when I think about it. I had no idea why Ben's dad had reacted that way. Now that I'm older and I know more about the systems at play within our own culture, about patriarchy and gender norms and heterosexism, I know that there were a lot of reasons that Ben's dad reacted the way he did. But one of them is this belief, this patriarchal belief that masculinity is better than femininity. And so for this little boy to be taking on something feminine was a move from honor to shame. Right? This is how I connected that memory to this story in our Bible. So in the dad's worldview, it was shameful for Ben to take on something feminine. That's the system that Ben's dad was functioning within. And if he'd had a little girl, if she'd put on a necktie or a baseball cap or whatever, he probably would not have had this visceral of a reaction, because there would not have been that shaming, that traveling down the power hierarchy. So think about that idea of how systems assign value and honor to certain things and shame to others, and how invested people get into those ideas, even today. And like I said earlier, in an honor-based society, honor is more than just a pat on the back. It's what gives you value. It's what gives you worth. Honor determines your status in the community, and therefore shame takes that value, takes that worth, and places you lower in the ranking within the community. So Jesus's parable, encouraging people to move from a place of honor to a place of shame, this is no small thing. This is a big ask. And notice, he didn't ask them to just move down a spot or two. He encouraged them to take the lowest spot. So this isn't about giving up your seat to be nice or polite, like getting up from a crowded Thanksgiving table so grandpa can have a seat, or giving a pregnant woman your seat on the bus. This isn't just a nice gesture. This is defying an entire system, the entire ranking of society. And it's something that risks you being seen as less than, that risks you as being perceived by others as lesser. Imagine the Jim Crow South and a white person getting on a bus and choosing to sit in the back. Think about the weight of that. Think about all that was communicated by that division about a person's worth. Which is why it was so powerful when Rosa Parks refused to be moved further back. Miss Parks calmly staying in her seat rather than moving back became a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement, because these social rankings are powerful and it takes strength to defy them, which is exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. In this parable of the wedding banquet, and in Jesus' words to his host, where he tells him at his next party to invite all the wrong people, the people who've been delegated to that lowest rung on the social ladder, the people who have nothing to offer in return. In these stories, Jesus is asking us to defy all the social rankings. This rejecting or overturning of the social order, this is a key theme throughout the Gospel of Luke. The idea that the good news, the gospel, is this inbreaking of God into our world that destroys these social hierarchies, makes them null and void, makes them meaningless. So we are called to no longer live by these hierarchies, and to actively reject them, and instead to live within God's reality, to perceive the world as God does, valuing all of God's children. Here at Holy Cross, we probably can all agree that little Ben should have been allowed to wear his purple flower, and that Rosa Parks should have been allowed to sit in any seat on the bus. We're comfortable rejecting those particular hierarchies. But what systems are we still participating in? Take a moment and think about that for yourself. What systems have been used to define your worth? Or have you used to define your own worth? What systems are you using to assign value to others? Value based on wealth, where you live, or the car you drive? Value based on power, position, job title, accomplishments? Value based on skin color or citizenship? The way you dress or the way you talk? Who you love or how you express your gender, how well your kids are doing, how much you weigh, how many degrees you have. The list goes on and on and on. All the ways we have of valuing and ranking and assigning worth. Some are easier for us to reject than others. But Jesus calls us to reject them all, actively and intentionally, to refuse to participate in the ranking game. Jesus calls us instead to view the world as God does, to recognize in each and every person a valued and loved child of God. That is the good news that we have been given. That is the good news that we are called to share in the world. That we have been set free from the need to earn or prove our worth to the world, because it has been given to us. We don't have to earn or prove our value because we know that we are loved. We know that we are valued as beloved children of God. And so we're free to share that love with the world, not just theoretically, but with our actions, choosing to spend time with people the world shuns, treating people with kindness who society ignores or abuses, fighting for justice for those who are oppressed, welcoming all to participate in God's kingdom here on earth, where all are valued, where all are cared for, where all are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.